We present Kenneth Williams, Peter Jones, Derek Nimmo, and Simon Bates in just a minute. And as the minute wolf fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, you do make one feel welcome. Thank you so much. Lovely, warm audience. And welcome to Just a Minute. And as you just heard, we have three of our regulars, Derek Nimmo, Peter Jones, Kenneth Williams. Good and evening. We welcome a guest, Simon Bates, for the Thank first you. Time. And once again, I'm going to ask our four panelists to speak or try and speak on the subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. And we'll begin the show this week with Derek Nimmo, and Derek, the subject is slapstick. Will you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
Well, slapstick was literally the slapping of two sticks together, last used by harlequins or clowns when they banged one another in the old days of pantomime or harlequinade. Today, of course, has all different meanings. The kind of rubbish which we put on at the Shaftesbury Theatre, the theatre of comedy which I am so sorry to belong to. Here we put on farces which are filled with slapstick, banging one another on the face, dropping our trousers, all sorts of hugely unpleasant rubbish which people come along in coachloads to look at. It is quite amazing. Sometimes we have 2,000 people in that particular place watching all this rubbish going on.
And Simon Bates is chairman.
It's a repetition of rubbish, I think.
But it's an awful lot of rubbish going on.
Yes, that's right. So, Simon, you have a correct challenge. He did repeat the word rubbish. So you have, for that, you get a point, and you take over the subject, and there are 19 seconds left on slapstick, starting now.
Slapstick, for me, has nothing to do with the theatre. It is television in the 1950s, and watching one of the famous farceurs of the 1950s from London's
West... And Derek Nimmo, you have a challenge.
Oh, last bit and bother.
Yes. I'm afraid the 1950s came up twice when we didn't know what... You were fascinated by it that particular time, because Derek Nimmo has the subject back with a point for the correct challenge, and 9 seconds starting now.
Last year, I did a play called See How They Run, and I happened to sit next to a lovely lady called Maureen Lipman, and we indulged in a lot of...
Well, when Ian Messiter, the inventor of the game, blows his whistle, it tells us that 60 seconds is up, and whoever is speaking at that moment gains an extra point, and it was Derek Nimmo. So, Derek, you're in the lead at the end of the first round, because you have more points than anybody else. Simon Bates, will you take the second round, and the subject is wine. Will you tell us something about that beverage, starting now?
I must admit that I am not a great aficionado of wine. For me, something light, white, and from the south of the valley will do absolutely fine. I am the sort of person who enjoys a bottle of wine with my meal. That is to say, a bottle of wine and a few friends
sitting
around.
Peter Jones has challenged a repetition of bottle. You have a bottle of wine twice.
Well,
you know.
Normally three times at a meal, Peter. That seems reasonable.
But you can't repeat it on just a minute, I'm afraid.
I'm a drunk.
Peter Jones, you challenge for a bottle of wine, so you take over the subject with a point for a correct challenge, and there are 43 seconds left, starting now.
I like the names of wine so much, like Chardonnay and Bouvray and Cabernet Sauvignon, and then in Australia, Barossa.
Yes, Derek, remember, you challenge. There was an error before the Australian wine came out, so Derek got in with the correct challenge, and there are 31 seconds for you on wine, starting now.
Now, I'd just like to mention to anybody who might possibly be interested that I have written two books about wine. One was called Derek Nimmo's Drinking Companion, available...
Simon Bates'
is pretentious nonsense. Are we here for plugging wine books?
Yes.
Oh, fair enough, then I'll be quiet.
If we happen to have written one...
Well, I haven't written one.
No, exactly.
So what is your challenge?
Sour grape.
Deviation? What I sometimes do in just a minute to award bonus points when you have a good comment. All right, a bonus point for Peter Jones for that one. Derek Nimmo keeps the subject of wine, and there are 24 seconds left. Starting now.
Well, I think Peter was just about to take a lovely trip down the Barossa Valley in South Australia. I think you were, weren't you? And it is really one of the most lovely wine-growing districts in the...
Simon Bates.
Well, he didn't actually get the sentence out, so I suppose that...
That was hesitation, yeah. Simon. So you have back the subject of wine, and you have 14 seconds starting now.
Let's talk about the simplicity of wine, the art of getting drunk with friends over a good meal. Something, if I may say so, that none of these team members know anything about. They don't live in the real real world.
Derek Nimmer, chum.
I always get drunk over meals. What are you talking about?
So is that one of those things I put to the audience that say Derek Nimmer actually gets drunk?
What is the no, I get drunk over meals. My son's there. He'll tell you I get drunk over meals.
I don't know whether he gets drunk or not, so how do I decide on that one? I tell you what, let us, as Simon as a guest, decide that it was not a correct challenge, but not give a point against Derek. Leave the subject with Simon Bates. 3 seconds, starting now.
Good friends, food, and an excellent wine.
Simon Bates, our guest, has got a point for speaking as the whistle went, and now is in the lead alongside Derek Nimmo. I couldn't have built the remark up more.
It's just stunned silent.
That's a fun game, isn't it? Kenneth Williams, we'd love to hear from you, and so will you start the next round? The subject is tall story. Will you tell us something? You've got a lot of those in your repertoire, but tell us one in just a minute, starting now.
A tall story, which I'm very fond of, was told me by young Ted Ray. I say that because it was my mind. And it was about the Empire State Building and the elevator shot to the top and the woman was found on the floor of the lift. And the operator said, "You're all right, lady." And she replied, "Yes, I always wear my corsets round my ankles." I remember that being brought up as a tall story because, you see, one of the tallest buildings, the Grand Hotel in Tokyo, built by Frank Lloyd Wright. And when Fujiyama erupted, you see, why didn't that collapse as all the other buildings did? I'll tell you. Because it had the needle foundation as opposed to the quadrangular or float foundation, which is common in Europe and most of the world.
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Repetition of foundation.
I'm afraid you had one too many foundations.
A lot more interesting if rubbish he comes out with.
It was extremely interesting, and the audience applause endorsed that comment, but I'm afraid you did commit one of the breaches.
Oh, get it out, hurry up. Wait there after 9:30, don't you? I'll come back later on. Tell me then, dear.
I was searching for the word breach.
You're breaching one of... more than that. I
You breached one of the rules, and therefore Peter Jones has got a correct challenge. A point for that, and 3.5 seconds left on tall story, Peter, starting now.
They're building one in New York, which I believe is even taller than the Empire State.
And for those of you who may not be aware of it, when Ear Messiter blows his whistle, he tells us 60 seconds is up, and whoever is speaking that moment gains the extra point. And it was on this occasion Peter Jones who's now taken the lead. Peter, it's your turn to begin. The subject is annoying drivers. There are 60 seconds to talk on that subject, starting now.
Well, the drivers who annoy me most, I think, are when I'm approaching a major road and I look to the right and one is coming towards me, a driver in a car, and I stop and wait. And then I find, about 5 minutes later, he turns up the road that I'm just trying to emerge from without any indication. And I could have turned much earlier. So thus I've lost 5 minutes of valuable time helping other people and dogs across the road and my usual, the way I spend my day.
Kenneth Williams challenged you to help the dogs across the road.
Two turns and three roads.
Yes. There were a lot of turns, a lot of roads.
Yes, I repeated myself.
Yes, that's right. Yes. So Kenneth has the subject back. No, sorry, he has the subject, and there are 36 seconds. Annoying drivers starting now.
Well, Frank Lloyd Wright, the great American architect.
Peter Jones has challenged you.
He did mention Frank Lloyd Wright earlier, and I'm very pleased to hear him repeat and tell us more about this marvelous man.
But he didn't mention Frank Lloyd Wright on this subject of annoying drivers.
No, I know he didn't.
Then why are you challenging?
Well, it's interesting that every time he has a subject like this, he brings in Frank Lloyd Wright.
At the present moment,
he's the only architect he's ever heard of.
He's writing a book about Frank Lloyd Wright.
Oh, I see.
So, So, Kenneth, it was an incorrect challenge.
There are 33 seconds for you on annoying drivers starting now.
They all annoy me because I'm a pedestrian, you see. And I think they just hog the road. And we're almost crossing at their behest, so to speak. It's not as though we've any right to be there in their eyes. And I don't feel that when I'm in a car being driven at all. I think, get it out the way. Go on, shove it, not out. And I don't mind that at all. But it was said, of course, that...
Derek Zimmer has challenged.
That isn't mine.
Yes, he did, I'm afraid. So, Derek, you have a correct challenge. And 20 seconds, annoying drivers starting now.
One of the best ways to annoy a driver is to pull yourself double park, and when you see somebody trying to slip in to the side so they can put their car into a space, then you go in front of them. They get so terribly cross, and out they get, and they want to indulge in fisticuffs and all sorts of things, but you slap them in the face and say, go away, you horrid man. You look like a pedestrian.
So, Derek Nimmo, speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. He's now taken the lead, one ahead of Peter Jones, who's one ahead of Simon Bates, who's one ahead of Kenneth Williams, and in that order we begin the next round. Derek, it's your turn, the subject, teeth. Will you tell us something about that in the game, starting now?
I once heard a story of a lady going to visit a dentist, and she sat down and said, I hate having my tooth filled. I hate having my teeth attended to.
Kenneth Williams.
Who I hate.
Yes, there were indeed, Kenneth. So you have a correct challenge, a point, and there are 48 seconds on teeth starting now.
Of course, we all agree that it is a most unpleasant experience to be shoved into one of these dentist chairs.
And then they put the challenge in
hesitation.
Yes, I think that was a hesitation. It was a crack-up, actually, a dry-up.
Well, I felt a bit guilty about the way I treated Derek Nimmo. I was feeling guilty, and of course the guilt, so to speak, repaid me.
But, yeah. Kenneth, you should
first
never...
First time you felt guilty in 18 years, I'm afraid.
And you should never feel guilty about the way you treat Derek Nimmo. 39 seconds left for you, Peter, on teeth, starting now.
Well, teeth are about the only part of the human body you can flash without being arrested. Now, I like to flash mine and smile, you know, let people see them. I know I have to keep going even when you applaud, because otherwise I shall be had up for hesitating.
Oh, so he kept going and did exactly what he shouldn't. So, Derek, you challenged.
Yes, hesitation. 20 seconds
on teeth, Derek, starting now.
And she said, well, I'd rather have a baby than have my teeth done.
Simon Bates.
Have nine, nine, nina, my? Sorry, what?
He was giving a character performance.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It was supposed to be a Cockney accent.
I withdraw my protest.
I know, but there's a lot of other, he was trying to withdraw the tooth, I think, but, Derek, actually, he didn't deviate, said Simon, so we let him continue with 16 seconds on teeth, starting now.
And the man in the white coat said, do make up your mind, because I have to adjust the chair. And I always think it's rather a nice little story. But I remember once going along, and I heard in the newspaper from Topless in Devon of a man who'd thrown his dentures into the...
So, keeping going with the most outrageous material, Derek Nimmo was speaking again as the whistle went and has increased his lead. Simon Bates, the next subject is for you. It is certificates. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Certificates and examinations. We are talking, of course, earlier on about dentists, and when you go into that room and see that certificate hanging over the place where you are about to have your tooth extracted, you know that the certificate gives the gentleman in the white coat a great deal of power over you, because he can plunge his hand into your mouth and remove that tooth willy-nilly without any so much of a by your leave or how's your father or up your nose, and he can do that because he has a certificate hanging on the wall. Can you imagine the responsibility of having that certificate hanging on the wall? Oh,
God.
Well, he did repeat himself quite a bit, including hanging on the
wall. Yes. He was hanging on the wall. In fact, Kenneth Williams, I must tell the listeners, was almost on the floor because Simon Bates was gesticulating with such power.
That's true.
He nearly knocked Kenneth out in the process. There are 16 seconds for you, Peter, on certificates starting.
He seemed to be going on for ages.
Yes, there are 16 seconds starting now.
I can't remember the name of the subject. He was so far from it.
Derek Nimmo.
Deviation.
No, he wasn't.
Can't remember the name of the subject.
You can still say, I don't remember the name of the subject, and keep going and talk about it.
If he doesn't remember the name, how can he keep talking about it, you fool? If he doesn't remember the name of the subject, how can he talk about it? You are an oaf.
Well, I can...
He might within the next minute or second discover the name of the subject and be talking about it. You couldn't allow him to establish...
I might have just hit on the right thing.
So, Peter, you have another point and 14 seconds of certificates starting now.
I've never had a certificate except the birth one.
Kenneth Williams.
It's high time he was given a certificate.
So we give Kenneth Williams a bonus point for that delightful remark. And we leave the subject with Peter, which is still certificates, and there are 11 seconds starting now.
I've had bits of paper and receipts and invoices and bills, but a certificate always seems to evade me. I don't know why this is. I believe you can if you're ill and you go to the doctor.
So, Peter Jones, with some help from his friends, and speaking of the whistle wind, gained a number of points in that round, and he's now equal in the lead with Derek Nimmo, and equal in second place, a few points behind, are Simon Bates and Kenneth Williams. And, Kenneth, you begin the next round, which is Sir Benjamin Hall. Will you tell us something about that distinguished gentleman in just a minute, starting now?
The only reason this man has any claim to fame is that he was Commissioner of Works for the Palace of Westminster, responsible for the Bell Tower, and when this great thing was cast at Stepney Foundry in 1858, they called it Big Ben after him. It's cracked, and that gives it a certain resonance, which people say is extraordinarily attractive, and when it was out of action for a bit and they used St. Thomas's, everyone said, oh, great Tom, not a patch on Ben. And I knew.
Derek Nimmochan.
Benjamin Ben.
No, you see, the Benjamin
card is Benjamin.
Benjamin, yes, but Ben is on the card. If Benjamin's on the card,
Ben
must be on the card.
You're talking about bells, not Benjamin Hall, isn't it?
Well, that's the bells named after him, you great fool.
I think if Ben is on the card, that must be one of the rules. Ian Messiter, you thought of the rules.
Yes, right.
Ian Messiter includes. So, Kenneth, you have a further point, and you keep the subject, and there are 21 seconds. Sir Benjamin Hall, starting now.
As a matter of fact, when he was in charge, Frank Lloyd Wright, the great... had quite a bit of advice for him, because he knew about high...
Peter Jones a challenge.
It's quite impossible, because they didn't live at the same time.
You're quite right, Peter. So you have a correct challenge in 11 seconds on Sir Benjamin Hall, starting now.
If Sir Benjamin Hall had written some advice, it might have been read later by Frank Lloyd Wright. If it had been about some building or other, which might have helped him when he was designing these...
Simon Bates challenge.
Might repetition. Might have been.
Oh, yes, you did say might.
I'm sorry. It's turning nasty now.
And you've done what is often referred to as a Clement Freud on us by getting in with only half a second to go, Simon. And the subject is Sir Benjamin Hall, starting now. So he still gets the points for opening his mouth as the whistle went, if not speaking. And he's in third place, just ahead of Kenneth, just behind Derek Nimmo, who's 1 point behind our leader, who is Peter Jones, who also begins the next round. Peter, the subject is please. Can you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
Well, it's a word you don't often hear, is it? I suppose it's usually used in courts of law when people are making pleas, which are heard by juries sometimes, magistrates, judges, whatnot, and... boring
Well, I've never heard a whatnot hear a plea, actually. They're nice little bits of furniture in the corner of the room, usually.
We don't comment from you. We're going to panelists, or they're the judge, not make comments.
All right, all right.
It's a nerve commenting on the panelists. So cheap. What kind of a chairman are you?
One minute I'm a good chairman, the next minute I'm impossible. Right. Peter, you didn't commit any of the
rules. I didn't have any zest for the word.
You had no zest for the subject or the game, but you didn't deviate or repeat yourself or hesitate, so you keep going on, please, with 43 seconds, starting now.
Well, I like to hear people say please and thank you when you've given them something. It does kind of...
I think you definitely hesitated there, Peter. Jane Nimmer, you have the subject. 34 seconds, please, starting now.
Now, one of the interesting things is that Sir Benjamin and Certificate contacted Frank Lloyd Wright and said, will you please come to see us? And
Kenneth...
Well, the deviation's already been established. They couldn't have spoken to each other.
Well, they might have contacted each other on an astral plane somewhere.
You know, when... talking about astral plane.
What kind of a chairman are you, anyway?
It's ridiculous, isn't it? All right, I was trying to be fair, but Kenneth, you had the subject of please, 26 seconds, starting now.
I always think of that song, please lend a little ear to my plea. And it's very charming, you don't hear that kind of thing nowadays, do you? More's the pity. All the rubbish they sing, bawling it out, I don't understand a word. But in those days, please lend a little ear to my plea. Said it.
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Repetition of lend a little ear
well
to my
plea. Well worth it, yes. They were all loving it.
But he did repeat more than one word. And
well, he did.
Peter got in with the challenge. Well, 9 seconds for the subject you don't want and don't like. Please, Peter, starting now.
He was demonstrating the reason why we don't hear much of it nowadays, in my opinion. The song.
Eric Nimmer challenge.
He stopped.
I know he stopped again.
I was relying on your buzzer being faulty.
2 seconds, Derek, for you on the subject of please, starting now.
S'il vous plaît, paracolo, pour favor. A word.
So Derek, once again, was speaking as the whistle went, and now he's gone into the lead, one ahead of Peter Jones, and quite a few ahead of Simon Bates and Kenneth Williams. And Derek, your turn to begin. The subject, wonders of the world. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
The pyramids of Egypt. That's the only one that survives from the 7 ancient ones of the world. There was the Colossus at Rhodes, do you remember? The Hanging Gardens of Babylon, the Pharos at Alexandria. All those things have been swept away by time, but Cheops' great building remains as one example of the last of the 7 original ones of the world. Today, I would like to add a new one to it, the Taj Mahal. Shah Jahan's great edifice to his loved wife, his most wonderful woman that he cared so greatly for. Perhaps I would add two in Sydney in Australia.
Simon Bates.
Hesitation, I think.
Yes, hesitation, Simon. So you can now tell us something about wonders of the world with 23 seconds left, starting now.
Can I pursue the point that was made by my worthy colleague on my left-hand side about modern wonders of the world? And indeed, he was mentioning Sydney, which is not the capital of Australia, as many people know, but is the second city of Australia, because Melbourne, of course, is smaller.
And Kenneth Williams challenged.
Well, he is not discussing one of the world, he's discussing which is the capital of...
I was getting there. Give me a chance.
Which is the capital of Australia.
You're right. It was deviation. I'm sorry.
Yes, deviation.
Let me tell you, you've got 9 seconds. Wonders of the world starting now.
One of the great wonders of the world is what you, as an audience, are watching tonight. Me. I can't tell you how very lucky you are. What a great honor.
Well, obviously, the audience think there's no way, better way to finish just a minute than Kenneth telling us that he is one of the modern wonders of the world. They don't know him as well as we do. We have reached the end of this edition of Just a Minute, so let me give you the final score. Simon Bates, who, as our guest, has not played the game very often, but he did remarkably well because he got a lot of points, but finished just one behind Kenneth Williams, and Kenneth was just 3 behind Peter Jones, who was only 1 behind this week's winner, Derek Nimmo. And we do hope you've enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute, which is slowly becoming one of the modern wonders of the world in radio. And we hope that you'll want to tune in again the same time next week when we take the air and we play this delightful game. Till then, from all of us here, goodbye. Thank you.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by Pete Atkins.